Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
CBS Sports Radio.
Live from CBS Radio Studios in New York City, it's the DA Show with your host, Damon Amendolara, featuring producer Mraz and the musical sounds of the Zap Zap Orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's DA.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. They found a better way to mortgage that you can focus on making your new house your home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. We had a true breakthrough last hour. Mraz had mistakenly told Bogish that it was stunned to a news hour. When Bogish tossed to it, we did not have that open ready to go because it was scheduled for hour number three. So stunned to a news is coming up this hour in approximately a half hour from now. However, Mraz immediately took responsibility, said this cannot happen, I will be better, and is insisting that he is focused and locked in. And of course, at this exact moment, Andrew Kaplan, Wizard of WatchDA.com, has tweeted out a GIF of Mraz yawning during the show. Just rearing his head back and yawning like a big old grizzly bear at the Bronx Zoo. Where's my fish? Focused and locked in. Hashtag DA gifts. Coming up this hour on the show, stunned to a news. And can Tom Thibodeau save the New York Knicks? Here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. So Teddy Bridgewater now is going to get some money somewhere because Drew Brees has announced that he is coming back on Instagram.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
Which I think Instagram is now the preferred destination for most athletes. I guess it's, you can say more there than on Twitter. You can also include a nice touching picture.
They love the video too.
There's the video aspect to it, correct? And Drew Brees inserted a picture there of, I think it was Hawaii. He was on a Hawaiian vacation, I believe. So Instagram became his mode of communication of coming back. For the Saints, huge deal. When he was healthy last year, very effective, very good. Playoff game was not so good, but for the Saints, who have a really good roster and a really good team around him and can kind of keep this train going coming off 13-3, that's a big deal to get Brees back. Once again, vaults them into a Super Bowl favorite. I believe they are the favorite in the NFC with Brees back. That does leave us with the Taysom Hill and Teddy Bridgewater situation. I don't know what the deal is with Sean Payton and Taysom Hill. I don't see it. Sean Payton does. Now, Sean Payton's really smart. I wonder if part of his Taysom Hill infatuation is the fact that Taysom Hill could be a valuable commodity to flip. That if he showcases Taysom Hill enough, maybe he can trade Taysom to a team that believes he's a franchise guy or could be. Or the simple fact is, if they apply a certain tag to him this offseason, then a team that wanted to sign him as a free agent to be their starter would have to give the Saints a first-round draft pick. So I wonder if maybe Sean Payton saw this as a trade chip, as a resource, and not actually Drew Brees' successor. that if he put him in enough situations to look kind of the part and talked him up enough, that a team would trade a first rounder for him. And by the way, the Saints got him as an undrafted free agent. So flipping an undrafted guy into a one? I mean, because frankly, Mraz, I just don't know how Sean Payton can believe that Taysom Hill, who's a half quarterback, half wide receiver, maybe a third H-back, so it's a third. I don't see...
Swiss Army knife.
I don't see how you can know with any confidence Taysom Hill at 30 years old, who has thrown 15 passes, could be the successor to Drew Brees. Again, you're seeing him in practice, so that's a part of this, but he's 30 years old.
I agree completely on the surface that there's no way at that age, based on what you've seen, that you could step foot and go, I am completely confident we will not miss a beat for the next 5 years. This is our franchise quarterback. But I think what you have here with Sean Payton, like you see with other coaches, I think it's a bit of an ego thing. I mean, how many times does Bill Belichick get credit for, you know, insert name here because he found him and he got the most out of him, and when they went somewhere else, they weren't as good. And I bet you for Sean Payton, you know, as much as winning that Super Bowl special, I'm sure he wants another one, proving that he could get it done with this guy that nobody else believed in, that had all these injuries in college, and prove that it wasn't conventional, but I turned him into a quarterback, that is a big ego chip for Sean Payton, and I think that's what it's about for him.
It could be. Now, there's talk that Taysom Hill is going to be part of 75% of all offensive snaps next year.
Yeah, Zach Strief was on with Zach Elbin. He said somewhere between 65 and 75% of all offensive snaps. So, again, where is he lining up?
So, the play-by-play voice of the Saints joined our night show here on CBS Sports Radio and said 75% of snaps, and Strief played for Sean Payton, are going to involve Taysom Hill. Now, maybe you end up giving Taysom full drives next year if he's the backup quarterback under center. But I guess he's going to be a starting wide receiver slash tight end slash H-back, because where else are you going to find 75% of the snaps? I mean, because Drew Brees isn't taking 25% of the snaps. So you've got to have him lined up as a target with Drew Brees. They got to both be on the field at the same time.
Okay, and let me just play devil's advocate. Now that I'm thinking out loud, which is probably scary to do.
Very dangerous.
Because of Taysom Hill's set, and this was the problem with Tim Tebow, he wasn't willing to move around and do these other positions. He had to be a quarterback, But very clearly, Taysom Hill has just put me on the field and let me do whatever I can. I wonder if Taysom Hill's unique position of this, where Strief says this, is let me get on the field and let me play tight end, wide receiver, running back, H-back. And maybe by learning all of the routes and all of the assignments, all of the positions, in many ways, Payton and Hill view that as a better way to make him a better quarterback.
Best case scenario, if that works, that would be wonderful. And there has to be something to this. Either Sean Payton sees something nobody else does. Sean Payton is trying to love him up so that somebody gives him a first rounder for Taysom. Or that he's trying to give Taysom Hill a reason to still be happy. Because if Taysom Hill has said, which he has, I want to be a franchise quarterback. I believe I can be a franchise quarterback. And people keep asking him, how do you feel about Drew Brees coming back? And he's like, oh, I love it. He's my best friend. He believes he should be then the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. Maybe a way to keep him happy right now is, okay, you're not going to be quarterback, but we're going to give you 75% of the snaps. But you cannot convince me that Taysom Hill at wide receiver for 75% of your plays or tight end is the best option. He's not the best tight end in the league. He's not the best wide receiver in the league. And he's not the best quarterback in the league. So having him on the field for 75% of the snaps for a team that went 13-3 feels like it's a downgrade at that position every time he's on the field.
Right. And I would think going into the year, if you're a New Orleans Saint fan, doesn't the best recipe for success mean getting Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas as many touches and hands on the ball as possible?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Those are two Pro Bowlers, two stars, two of the best in the NFL. So I don't get the Taysom Hill thing. If he was 23 and you were grooming him, that's one thing. He's 30 years old. He's going to take over and suddenly run that offense next year? I just don't see it.
But maybe Sean Payton only looks at himself as having another 5 years to coach. Maybe that's all he wants. So why would he care if it's a 22-year-old kid coming in? Maybe he's looking for what's comfortable for him and what's going to get him through the rest
maybe,
of what he
but
sees
I mean,
as his reign.
At 30, you've kind of hit your level, right? I mean, how much better can Taysom Hill get at 31 years old? He is what he is. Yeah,
I guess, but we don't know what he is at that position full-time yet. I still don't understand why they didn't. If this is how they felt, why wasn't he the guy instead of Bridgewater last
exactly.
year?
Exactly. Exactly. If he's the future franchise quarterback, he was already 29 years old. It wasn't like he was a snot-nosed kid. Right.
And you were gifted a couple weeks to get that real trial run out there,
yep.
and you chose not to do it.
They said that Bridgewater's a better option, and I'm sure he was. So now the flip side of this is Teddy Bridgewater's not going to come back to New Orleans. So on the open market, people have said he's going to ask for $30 million a year. He ain't getting $30 million a year. Teddy Bridgewater is not worth $30 million a year. Even with skyrocketing quarterback salaries, he's not going to get that. Could he get $20 million a year? Absolutely. Could he get 22, 23? Probably. And so if you are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Indianapolis Colts, the Chargers,
the Patriots,
would you give Teddy Bridgewater a three-year deal? Let's say give him maybe not Kirk Cousins money, but would you give Teddy Bridgewater the 3 years, $65 million deal to make him your starter the next three seasons?
Can the caveat be where am I in the draft position?
Yes.
Okay. Because, for instance, if I'm the Dolphins, I wouldn't do that. Obviously, anybody who's in a line to get a Herbert, a Tua,
well, the
a
team
Burrow,
that I mentioned are not really right. in that.
I don't think if you're the Colts, you can, because I don't know. You've already got Brissett, and I don't know how much better. But if you're the Bucks, and you've already done that first-round asset on Winston a few years ago, I think you absolutely can if you're believing in Arians. And I think if you're the Patriots picking at the back end, and you have that coach and that scheme, I think you absolutely can.
So I don't think he fits in Tampa Bay because Bruce Arians likes to throw the ball downfield a lot. Bridgewater doesn't really do that. I want to say that I really value Teddy Bridgewater's decision here to set himself up for this payday because he probably could have been a starter before this, and he decided to sit behind Drew Brees for a couple of seasons and bet on himself and say, I'm not going to be a starter, but I will learn the craft from one of the best in one of the best organizations. And I don't need to start for a bad team. I want to start for a good team. So I love the fact that Bridgewater's going to make money off this decision. He played it smart. But I don't think he's much of an upgrade over Jacoby Brissett. Maybe a little bit, but I don't know if he's much of one. He doesn't fit Bruce Arians. And for the Chargers, if they're looking for something more with more sizzle than Phillip Rivers for a new stadium, I don't know if Teddy Bridgewater has any sizzle, nor I don't know if he's necessarily a better option than Rivers was.
Well, and also their next option right now that's on the Charger roster is Tyrod Taylor. So
is Tyrod Taylor better than Teddy Bridgewater? Probably not.
Probably not, but again, to your point, you're moving into a stadium you need to sell tickets. If you're going to sign Bridgewater, why not just ride it out with Taylor and maybe you stink and you draft Trevor Lawrence the next year?
Would the Carolina Panthers want Teddy Bridgewater? Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe, but I don't know what Cam Newton is and if Cam Newton will ever be healthy. But
I think they're moving on from Cam Newton. So the decision is he better than what they've got on the roster? Probably.
Yeah, I mean, he's better than, who was it, Kyle Allen and Will Greer last year?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, and also it's a new coach who those guys have no draft affiliation to either.
I think Teddy Bridgewater's a decent quarterback, not a great one. If you want him for 3 years to be a respectable team, you can do so. If you want him for 3 years to win a Super Bowl, he's not going to be that guy. But he's a respectable quarterback that you can probably win 9 games with.
What about if you're the Lions and you trade Stafford to, like, the Chargers? Do you go after a Teddy Bridgewater?
Well, I do think you can sign Bridgewater to be the guy before you start your rookie, but I wouldn't sign him to a three-year deal then.
But also, wouldn't that not be what Bridgewater wants? Why would he have done this whole thing with New Orleans just to sign, you know, I'm going to sign with the team that's drafting Tua, let's say. Like, why would he do that?
Right. No, it's true. He might want a job to himself. He's in a weird middle ground. He's just, there's somebody that's going to want him because at least he's a serviceable quarterback. But you can't believe you're getting to a Super Bowl level with him, and thus you can't afford to spend more than $20-22 million on him a season, which is great money for him, don't get me wrong, but you can't break the bank for Teddy Bridgewater.
No, you have to find a way to balance out your roster and hope he's the perfect keeper of the flame.
Right. Can we play the Andy Gresh audio again here We had this in soundcheck, and I want to play this again. Gresh really got aggressive on Mraz. And, you know, Gresh and I are friends. I enjoy his show very much. I like when he fills in for this show. I think that he's really good. And, but boy, last night, you heard him really go after Mraz, and then even more so, Berman cackling in the back really likes that he has ruffled our feathers.
I like DA. I made all my jokes about DA when I worked with him in Boston. I got him out of my system. But he knows I'll go back to him if I want to. But that chubby, bald little stooge that runs around with DA as his stupid little dum-dum boy who puts the little, oh, let me put some whipped cream on my head and run around like a dum-dum because that's what DA needs me to do. What do you need me to do there, boss? I'm gonna carve him up like a smoked sturgeon later.
You should.
Well, and Jay, well, you know, listen, not for nothing, but Mraz was upset at you too, and said that I think he almost took it personally, whatever jab you threw in there, but you guys also go to ball games and stuff like that, so I figure that stuff you say to his face, but the way Mraz was all poo-poo button it earlier today, it seems like that you might have... stoked a little fire under that chubby
What did yours truly say? I don't remember.
I don't remember what you said either, but all I know is in the little bit of audio that I heard, it was Mraz going, oh, I thought Jay Berman got a little personal there. Me.
Berman has an evil laugh there. That means he's feeling satisfied.
Oh, yeah. I did what I wanted to do, and now it's bothering them.
Because Berman said the best part of his shift at night is he doesn't have to see us anymore.
And deal with our nonsense.
And I like Jay. Jay's been over my house. He's come to one of my parties, my birthday parties.
He's fallen asleep in your community room at your apartment complex.
I like Jay. I don't know why he has such ill will towards me. He doesn't like this show. He does not.
I think he
likes, doesn't like to be part of this show.
Right. I think he likes you and I on a personal level. I don't think he likes the idea of the DA show.
He doesn't like this show. And I don't see what there's not to like. Frankly, I like it.
I think he thinks we are a tornado of drama and controversy that he has been dragged into and under way too much, and he doesn't want a part of it. He feels as if if he says something about somebody in the newsroom, it's not safe to say around us because it will get out on air. And this, that, and the other thing. I believe that is where the thoughts lie.
Well, that's probably true because he's very fun, and I've tried to get him to make some jokes, and he just won't do it around me. He clams up. So I think he's worried that I will use that on the air, which
right.
I wouldn't. I know when it's safe.
I would.
When it's safe zone. Let me also say that I don't see how you can go to another road trip. You guys have gone to annual Giants football games together. If
sure.
he is... has an evil laugh like that, happy that he has disgruntled us and taken shots at the show.
It certainly would make for a frosty situation. I haven't even discussed with him an upcoming trip this year, although Baltimore's very much on my radar. I don't know. There needs to be some smoothing over, some tarring of the roof, if you will. Something needs to
That's
happen.
That's an interesting metaphor.
But
also, can I just ask, how do you feel when Gresh calls you, quote, a chubby, bald little stooge and a chubby little monkey?
Poo-poo butt.
Or a poo-poo butt. I'm a little bothered just from the standpoint of we were always able to joke around, but I do think there's something to do with Gresh has lost 100 pounds, and because it's almost like the episode of Seinfeld where Jerry's making dentist jokes and he's not a dentist. You know, that whole episode.
He's an anti-dentite.
He's an anti-dentite. So you're not necessarily what we would call the F word anymore, Gresh. You're not. Like, you lost a lot of weight. And I think
he's not fat.
Not, like, I think it's really good. It's really healthy. It looks a little weird. He kind of looks like a coconut head or something now.
I applaud him. I think it's so great that he lost all
that
weight.
It's great.
It's great.
And I'm happy that he got that healthy.
What discipline?
But part of... the discipline I've yet to exhibit as of day three of intermittent fasting, I want to eat my arm. What has happened here is I think he is now enjoying the fruits of that labor of losing weight where his chubby jokes that would have been funnier when he's chubby are not funny anymore. Now it's personal and mean.
He's called you little multiple times. That's actually probably a compliment.
Yeah, but I don't know. And he calls little hands. And then just a little while ago, he took a shot on Twitter at one of our listeners who, you know, had a problem that, you know, I'm on this show for a reason and Gresh is, you know, meandering through the night for a reason. And he said, Mraz is big in Topeka and Boise. What does that tell you? And he's taking shots now at two affiliates we have, Boise and Topeka. Meanwhile, I mean, Gresh, you're working in Rhode Island. It's the smallest state on the map. Relax.
Not by population, though.
It doesn't matter. But, I mean, now you don't even have respect for our listeners in Boise and Topeka?
He called you a chubby, bald little stooge and a chubby little monkey.
And again, I've done a lot of your stupid stuff with you for the laughs and on the air. I have never once poured whipped cream on my head and danced. Never once.
As you said, show me the tape.
Show me the tape. You want to say I've done something silly? You want to bring up the Speedo in Central Park? You want to bring up 40-yard dash? Fine. Don't ever say I put whipped cream on my head. That is false. You're putting an image in people's heads that did not happen.
Maybe Pete the Body did, and he just thought it was you.
Oh, Pete, who wouldn't have a humorous bone in his body if he knew what it was. Now he's putting whipped cream on his head. Give me a break.
What?
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. When we come back, your regularly scheduled stunned to a news. The DA Show, Morning Mothership, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
You're gonna get a LeBron as the Terminator. How many different remakes of these movies come out all the time? You're telling me when you get LeBron and he's a muscular dude like that, we're not gonna get him in a Terminator? He will be the Terminator. Within the next decade, you will get a Terminator remix with LeBron as the star. He's already in L.A. It makes too much sense for you guys to mock me.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. Sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, hard work, get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. We now have a best of podcast, started yesterday, so you don't have to listen to the full 4 hours if you don't have the time. You can listen to the best of, available the same place as all the podcasts are available. So go to cbssportsradio.com, Apple Podcasts, radio.com, Stitcher, Spotify, or other places that our podcasts are available, and you can listen to the best of. That's also our poll question today. Now that Mraz actually has put in the work, will you actually listen to the Best Of podcast? Seems like it's been early returns, pretty popular. Clint is next up. He's in Shreveport, listening on 1580 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Clint.
Good morning. I just want to add a perspective on Taysom Hill, because back at BYU, he was a pretty prolific running back, or running quarterback. Maybe Sean Payton's thinking of more of a RPO option to go forward for just to maintain. I mean, Josh Allen did it, and he's not a great quarterback, but when you have Kamara and you have a guy like Thomas that can go over the middle, maybe that's his perspective or approach with this.
You could be right, Clint. That might be part of the equation. I mean, I think we know that RPO quarterbacks don't last very long if they're only RPO quarterbacks. You have to have a pretty good passing acumen to go along with your threat of the ground, but perhaps, you know, he sees that part of it. I just think it's interesting that anybody could be confident that Taysom Hill could be a franchise quarterback if he's 30 years old and has thrown 15 passes in his NFL career. Hard for me to have any confidence that he's anything more than just kind of a gadget player in the NFL. Kevin's next up in Idaho, listening on radio.com. Good morning, Kev.
Good morning, DA. Can I get a beam up?
You know it.
Now, that may be the last one I get for a long time, as Mraz will probably ban me after this call. Mm-hmm. First off, I don't know what's happened in the last 2 hours, because it's 6 a.m. here. I'm just waking up. But I really wanted to weigh in on the PGP.
Okay.
For the record, Mraz makes me laugh far more than he gets on my nerves. That said, I think I enjoyed the first 20 awkward minutes of the PGP more than the last 20 minutes with you, Mraz. DA, you held your ground early on calling him out correctly, but then he wound up filibustering until you conceded, it felt like. He only truly accepted criticism on two things, where everything else he would start to accept responsibility before throwing in a butt or begin to discredit everyone else. See, this is all besides the point, though, because the heart of the matter was forgotten, and that is Mraz got himself into this mess to begin with. Whenever he feels called out as not doing his job or being replaceable, he lashes out at others and then boasts how the majority of would-be replacements are far more flawed than him. Mraz claims you need thick skin in the business, yet he usually is the first one to let things get to him. And then he claims he is only having fun and joking around, yet we all know when it comes to having fun at his expense, he has shown to take it personal. Mraz, you can't, guys, insult this comedy, because you know firsthand it can still be taken as a slant. All that said, Mraz, I enjoy the show with you being a part of it. Perhaps just avoid tossing shade at your fellow colleagues if you don't want this mess to occur. That's all I got, D.A.
Nice job. That's a pretty thorough breakdown of your filibustering, your approach, and the PGP.
No. It was a well-thought-out. I give him credit. It was a well-thought-out call. He took the time to digest the PGP, and that's what he came up with. If that's how he feels, that's how he feels. I think he's wrong, but that I think that was a well-thought-out call.
I don't know how I feel about my performance of the PGP. I will tell you, last week I was frustrated with Mraz, and I talked about this on the PGP. I needed a talk session. I genuinely like Mraz. That should be noted here. I genuinely consider him a friend. I really genuinely like his family. I love his family, and I appreciate our relationship and our friendship. I was frustrated with him last week because I have felt over the first 6 weeks, which I've talked about on the PGP, everybody else has picked up the ball and run with it, taken our game to the next level because of the expectations on a show to be morning drive. And I thought Mraz was chintzing out on that responsibility. And last week it came to a head because you have all of these guys begging for his job, and he's sitting at home bickering with people on Twitter over the reclining of airline seats. And it just felt to me to be a boiling point of all of these guys desperate for the job, and Mraz is kicking back and not doing anything with the job while the rest of us are kind of doing more. I started out very angry in the PGP. By the end of it, I agree. I felt like I had been, maybe I just needed to vent and I just needed to explain my side, and I felt like maybe I got that out, and so I softened. I would agree, over the course of the 50 minutes that we talked, I began hot, I wound down by the end, and we found some common ground. I don't know if that's because you just talked me into circles and I just wound down.
But again, I don't think it's filibustering talking in the circles. I don't think a lot of people were able to hear my side or my point of view, and I was able to express that. I thought, to be honest, I expressed it in a very mature, not nah, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Like, I thought I had, you know, well-thought-out thoughts. I laid it all on the table. I showed you my point of view. Here's walking my shoes right now. That's why I felt like it was a good PGP, and I think you're having listeners make you second-guess how you're coming out of it now. I mean, it was 60 minutes for a reason. We didn't sit down planning on it being 60 minutes. The conversation naturally, you know, went that way. I thought it was very healthy.
But why are listeners making me second-guess this?
Because they want the divide. They want the... Now, there are listeners that don't want the divide because they're fearful of the show, but we have built a foundation of controversy and being angry over nothing that listeners need to feed on it. And if they hear us being lovey-dovey on something and then it just... They want the fuel. They want to stoke the flames. Their own listeners are sick. Sick people. Very sick in the head.
Even though a large chunk of them support you almost blindly... So is that support of their sickness?
Yes.
Okay, as long as you're accepting that.
Didn't you just say that Gresh was disrespecting our affiliates? You just called most of our listeners sick in the head.
But I love all the stations we're on.
Chubby, bald, little stooge.
All right. Well, standing by with your headlines is Andrew Bogish. Andrew, good morning.
Are we sure it's my turn?
This time we're
good.
Yeah, this time we're sure.
Before the you-know-what hit the fan in Houston and before the Red Sox dealt away Mookie Betts, the biggest story of this baseball offseason was probably Nolan Arenado's unhappiness in Colorado. That almost led to him being traded like Betts. But now Arenado is at spring training, hoping to move on from that drama. GM Jeff Bridich said yesterday the two haven't really spoken yet.
We've seen each other. We haven't sat yet. But I trust that we will. I mean, it's early in camp, and he's just like all the other players. We you know, we find time to sit down and interact both with myself and with Buddy. So we'll find that trust. We'll find the right time to do that.
As for those cheating Astros, the union said last night it has been working with MLB headquarters on new rules for everything associated with this, from teams' use of information during games to player punishment for any similar infractions. No official word yet from Cleveland, but the Cavaliers and John Beilein are divorcing after just 54 games. It has basically never worked for the great college coach, most notably that team meeting where Beilein accidentally called his players thugs. He'll reportedly get a portion of what's left of this year's salary, but there are 4 years and roughly $16 million left on his overall contract.
So sorry to interrupt, yeah. But in terms of college coaches making the jump, is it basically a miracle Brad Stevens has worked?
He's definitely, I think, the aberration. Like, that's going to be, I would be hard-pressed to find another guy that's going to make the jump so seamlessly.
But also, perfect situation for Brad Stevens, perfect organization of resources. If Brad Stevens takes the job this year coming out of college with the Cavs, I don't think he's as quickly out as John Beilein, but I'm not so sure he's as successful as he's been.
I mean, situation matters for sure, but I think that Stevens would have figured out how to survive this year and got the Cavs going in the right direction.
Well, age here is just a big deal.
Absolutely.
And not to be an ageist, because I think people that are older can give a lot of resource and a lot of wisdom and can, you know, it's not just like you're an age and so you have to be a certain thing. But being 67 years old and trying to transition after a lifetime in college is way different than Brad Stevens transitioning when he was probably in his early 30s, mid-30s. I mean, I think he got that job before he was 40 years old.
Yes.
And so he just feels like new generation, can adapt, can understand, you know, young guys coming into the league well, really good person manager, people manager.
Right.
So Brad Stevens, even though he hasn't won big, seems like he made the transition really easily. Billy Donovan's been a pretty good job.
Yeah.
He's done a pretty good job. Outside of that, he got the job at 36, or he is 36?
He got the job at 36 years old.
Brad Stevens was 36 years old. Outside of those two guys, do we have any success stories?
No, and I mean, it's the same thing for football. It's just hard. They're two different jobs. They're two different setups. They're two different situations. And it takes a different guy to be successful in either place. To be able to do it on both levels in either sport is a really unique skill that I think very few people have. Now, not everybody's going to flame out and just, you know, halfway through year one. I mean, this is an all-time embarrassment for the Cavs and for Beilein. It shouldn't be this bad. But this is also has never made sense. Nothing we knew about John Beilein said be a good NBA coach. And to go into a situation as messed up as the Cavs were specifically never made any sense.
Remember Fred Hoiberg was a disaster?
Yeah, but those were also bad Bulls teams. So again, to Sean's point, situation absolutely matters. But I still think that Brad Stevens is uniquely qualified to have figured out whatever situation he got himself into in the NBA.
You know who did well in this? Quinn Snyder. Quinn Snyder was Mizzou's head coach for a while, and he was okay as a college coach. He's been very, very good in the NBA.
And I'm trying to think, they got in trouble at Missouri, right? And was he did he go right to the NBA as an assistant coach?
No, G League.
The G League, that's right.
He was in the G League for a while.
Now, if Patino had used the strippers to get free agents when he was in the NBA,
right,
maybe things would have worked
well,
out.
Well, and even like Patino in Boston, like they're sitting on the possibility they think they're going to get Tim Duncan, and then ping pong balls don't. So that's why all those other things absolutely factor into it. But I think the lesson we're learning here is just John Beilein's not an NBA coach in 2020.
No. And part of it has to be when you spend 40 years in college basketball and you're already into your late 60s, how much are you going to adjust?
Because even if he had gone to a place that was closer to winning, a lot closer to winning, and maybe they did win games, my guess is that still would have worn off. Now, it wouldn't have worn off in 54 games, but they might have won and at some point been almost winning in spite of maybe some unrest.
Yeah, the concept of this working right from the jump seemed ridiculous.
It was startling.
Yeah.
It was startling.
It's like, he's doing what?
Huh? And I think he had thought about it before, maybe the Pistons. Somebody else had thought about hiring him.
Right.
But it just never seemed that it would actually work out, and here we are with him on his way out. On a busy night of college hoops, we had number 15, Creighton, at number 19, Marquette.
Nine left on the shot clock. 50 seconds left in the game. 7 with 6. Tyshawn looking to drive. Tyshawn stops. Tough baseline. Jumper is good! Tyshawn Alexander, 69-60.
Scott Maher on the Creighton Radio Network. The Blue Jays winning in Milwaukee, 73-65.
He says good almost like a Blue Jay cawing. It's good!
Number one, Baylor downed Oklahoma 65-54. That's 23 wins in a row now for those Bears. The longest winning streak ever for a Big 12 team. The Baylor women beat Texas Tech last night. Head coach Kim Mulkey gets career win number 600 in career game number 700. That is the fastest to 600 for any D1 coach, men's or women's.
She's 600 and 100?
Correct.
Not only is just having a record that perfectly symmetrical over 700 games amazing, it's not really symmetrical, but kind of perfectly.
Yeah.
But also she's won 6 out of every 7 games.
Yes.
I guess that's college basketball on the women's side, but that is an amazing career.
It's ridiculous. And I think now, probably, maybe, reportedly, it is time
allegedly.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Today, gentlemen, we are in Greenville, Michigan.
Oh, refreshing.
A group of youngsters last week filmed one young man bathing in an industrial sink inside a Wendy's. So big enough for this entire person.
Oh, they were working sales here.
To be in the sink bathing. Now, they posted this themselves online because apparently there has been before these videos posted of Wendy's employees bathing in Wendy's. It's a thing.
Come on.
However.
Come on. I just ate spicy nugs the other day.
I know. So,
like naked or bathing suits?
Well, he's under,
does
he's
it
in
matter?
Bubble bath. So we'll get to all of these things. There's a lot to unravel here. So this appears to be them just being idiots on social media.
Oh.
But some people ran with this story because they're playfully mocking the guy in the sink, who apparently now was part of this. But some people took it as they were like, almost like the person didn't. But they were being mean to this guy in the sink, that he was, like, in there for a weird reason.
Like it was hazing.
Exactly. So, like, he was almost the victim in this. I don't think that's the case anymore, but obviously there's different takes on the story, and things got a little bit chippy, I would say, on ABC 13 in this area, talking about the story on the local news.
Wendy's called this act here unacceptable. I mean, of course, and they fired the employee involved, but they have not said if the man in the sink actually worked there.
Wow.
Or if the sink was cleaned. Yeah. There are just so
many way too much
questions.
Soap in there.
Oh, Tom, please.
Easy, Tom. No jokes, Tom.
Where does the soap go?
Where does the soap go?
Yeah, I don't know why Tom wanted less soap, less bubbles.
Easy, Tom?
But Easy, Tom.
Easy, Tom.
Easy, Tom. Not again, Tom.
She was so offended by that.
She knows that rapscallion Tom Saunders on ABC 13 can't be trusted.
Yeah. This is why Tom hasn't left Grand Rapids yet, apparently, making insensitive jokes.
How about the question, was it a clean sink? Does it matter?
Well, I guess afterwards you want to know if the sink's clean.
And this
cleaner.
Is the follow-up. The Wendy's, the guy that owns that Wendy's, had the whole place cleaned. Local authorities have already been in there, and it got an immediate clean bill of health. So you can, if you want, go eat again at this Wendy's.
But Grand Rapids Wendy's?
The possibly naked dude in the sink didn't contaminate much.
I just had spicy nugs. I just had spicy nugs.
And I could just tell you, in working in food prep and fast food, a lot of times you use these industrial sinks. Like, there's one side is like the clean, the other side is like some kind of other
sanitizing.
Like sanitize, yeah. And the middle usually is a big spray gun, which I'm assuming is what they were spraying with. A lot of times you'll bring a colander, and like in, I'm assuming in Wendy's case, you know, your lettuce, tomato, that kind of stuff. Oh. That is where you'll wash it. So I'm just telling you from my experience working in fast food, that's why this is a big deal. This isn't just cleaning your dishes in there. You can't have, you know, the pool boy sitting there getting hosed down, and then the same tomatoes and lettuce you want your JBCs with are being washed there. It's disgusting.
JBCs, I guess, being a junior bacon cheeseburger.
Of course.
Of course.
Is that an official
acronym? Call it JBC.
Okay.
I like that Mraz is basically the John Gruden of fast food.
Right.
Like, that's a spider Y2 banana.
Again, 10 years hard time in the business. I understand a lot of this stuff works.
And thanks for your credentials. We always like when you put out on the table right. what you once
right.
did in
that
the past.
That should be...
I know a guy.
That should be my watch DA lower third. 10-time managerial of the year employee, fast food, Long Island.
Poo-poo butt.
All right, boys.
I am so grossed out by that
story. Everybody fired, maybe even the guy in the sink, but now the restaurant is apparently
clean. But we don't know if they worked there.
So most of them did. The people on this stand...
Most of them. It was like a party.
The question...
It was like
if you Google this, you're going to find two different rundowns of the story. One, that the dude in the sink is somehow the victim and might have been being mocked in this, hazed, whatever. The other goes, they were all Wendy's employees doing it as a joke, and they all got fired.
Foam party at the Grand Rapids Wendy's in the sink.
I got a hankering for an Asiago Ranch Chicken Club. French fried.
Isn't there some type of acronym for that?
Not for that one, not yet.
What's it called?
The Asiago Ranch Chicken Club.
The ARC, the A-R-C-C.
Oh! ARC Madness.
Okay. When we come back, can Tibbs save the Knicks? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
If you're JD and you said, let me type away because I'm going to laugh at what DA said, make him on a rag. I don't want to hear from you because my guess is, JD, you half-ass it at work all the time.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
51 minutes past the hour. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. A couple of our listeners have sent me pictures and videos and news stories of other people at other Wendy's taking baths in the sinks. And now I'm totally, utterly grossed out. Also, by the way, the DA show is available on YouTube. So watch the best of clips every single day on YouTube. Just search CBS Sports Radio on YouTube. Find our channel and watch the best of clips every single day. It is truly a miracle that more people do not get physically ill, sick, and nauseous from eating at most eateries. Because, I mean, especially fast food, these are low wage jobs that people hope to move on from quickly. So you do not have some type of culture that is built usually. You are trying to find young people or people trying to get on their feet financially, and they oftentimes, especially young people, just do not give a crap about a lot of the things, you know, that adults do. I mean, you just care about less. And so I don't know, Mraz. I know you worked in the subway system for a decade.
Not the one in New York City.
But from what you've told me, I mean, you once adjusted yourself and then used your hands to fish out meatballs for a meatball sub.
Outside the shorts, but yeah, nonetheless. And all I was asked to do was change my gloves, not even wash my hands. Again, it's, you know, 17-year-old me.
And there's a lot of 17-year-old Mraz's working across the country in food prep.
And that's the thing. There's a lot of, you know, the maturity is just not there where you're not thinking anything of it. You don't really care and you're making less money. And, you know, the idea of like, oh, they'll be all right. Like, that's a lot of people's thoughts in the food business when you're young. Like, all right. Yeah. What do they know about health, you know, health and stuff like that? So, I mean, a lot of these places are great. I'm sure they are. And it really depends on management and being on top of it. And I'm sure stuff has improved with cameras and everything like that since I last worked. But you get stories like this and you realize, you know what? You're going out to eat, you're rolling the dice. Unless you're in your own kitchen, it's a roll of the dice.
No, exactly. Exactly. The New York Knicks, I guess we're fishing for Jay Wright. The idea that Jay Wright would leave Villanova for the most dysfunctional mess in the NBA is hysterical. I love the idea of that phone call. Jay, James is on the phone. James who? Naismith? No, Dolan. He'd like to know if you... No, just hang up. Tell him I'm busy. No, tell him I'm good. But he wants to offer you $85 million. No, I'm fine. No, we're not going there. So now they've turned their sights on Tom Thibodeau, and it sounds like Tibbs wants the job. Good luck with all that. I could just imagine hard driving, working until your eyes bleed, barking out orders, taking absolutely no guff and no excuses from anybody in Tom Thibodeau, will work great alongside James Dolan, especially when they don't win. I'm sure Dolan will have a ton of patience for a guy that will scream at him in the stairwell. I want to talk about this more coming up here next, and the Astros situation unfolds.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.